Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I have such a lovely show for today.
Okay.
I'm going to start by saying that the names we're going to call the two people in this show, of course, we've made up these names. It's a husband and wife. So the husband is going to be Micah and the wife is going to be Lily.
Got it.
Okay. And the client is Micah. So Micah has booked a session with me and I can see him over Zoom. He has booked half an hour. And at the very beginning of the session, he says, "Do you think you could just get my wife for me, please? This is what I need for today." And I said, "Yep. Any other things in the half hour, Micah? Or is it one thing?" And he goes, "One thing, just Lily, full half hour, please." And he says, if anything else comes in, that's fine. But my goal is to speak to my wife. So she comes in, she approaches, and oh my goodness, Kelly, you talk about an instant feeling of kindness, gentleness, and love from spirit. This is how I could best describe Lily. Mm-hmm. And she approaches me and she says, "Hi, dear. Hi, Karen." Like this, like, "Oh, just meeting you." And I thought, oh, this must be her personality, like how she approaches people. And she says, in answer to my thinking, she says, "That's correct." And she says, "And I'm very similar to my partner." She says, "I'm very similar to my husband." She says, "We kind of have very matchy-matchy energy." And I said, "Oh, this is going to be wonderful." And she says, "Yes." She says, "The first thing I want to say to you, to say to my husband today, is that I died a month ago." Mm-hmm. She says, "This is very, very fresh." And she says, "So I just want to confirm that my death was in the last 4 weeks. So that's going to give him his first validation." So I told him, and Micah looks at me and he goes, "That's true." And I said, are you okay, Micah?" And he goes, I don't think so.
No.
He says, I don't think I'm okay, but thank you so much for asking me." And I said, "I'm going to check in with you periodically." And I said, "Because this is so fresh for you." And he goes, "Oh, I really appreciate that, Karen." He says, "That would be helpful." He says, "Because I've been finding my head doesn't seem screwed on right." And I said, "Well, that's understandable." And he goes, "That's good to hear." And so there's these lovely little exchanges between Micah and I, Ellie and I, or pardon me, Lily and I, and them through the entire session. It's like we're all taking care of each other. Mm-hmm. And Lily says to me, "The other thing I want to say to him is that he just wants to know that I'm okay. He needs to hear that I'm doing all right, because that's just our thing for each other, Karen. We always want to know the other person's doing okay. That's our big thing. Everywhere we go, there's always a checking in with each other. And it's something that we started many, many decades ago. It could be a glance. It could be a question. It could be a statement. It could be a touch." She says it was just in many, many ways we figured out that we wanted to check in on each other to see if the other person was okay. So she says, "This is what he's doing because it's what we do." And she says, "So I need to start by answering that, don't I?" She says, "Because I wouldn't begin the session any other way." And I said, "Oh, you know I'm looking for facts then." Because that's how I want to start sessions. And she goes, "It's all going to work out beautifully, dear." She says, "You just sit tight and enjoy this." So I said, "Okay." So I just said, "Micah, the first thing that your wife says she needs to say to you is that how she is doing, because you are checking in with her. And this is what the two of you always did for each other for many, many decades. So you need to hear it one more time." And he just looks at me and he goes, and nods his head, and just ear to ear, Kelly, this, you know, the Grinch, like this ear to ear smile, and just looks at me and he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "So how's Lily doing?" And I said, well, she's responding. She's saying that she's here, so she's happy. She's here, and I mean here with you, but also here in the spirit world. And she's saying that she can do two things at the same time. And he goes, that's my Lily. Like this. And I said, okay, that's lovely. I'm glad that the personality matches and that your needs are getting met. And he goes, thank you. He goes, I'm just going to listen. Go ahead, Karen. And the next thing she said is, Karen, I need you to tell him to take a breath, but whoa, don't go fast. She says, I need to explain this to you. She says, I want you to take a breath with him. So you're going to instruct Micah, breathe, dear. And those are the words, breathe, dear. And I said, okay, I got that. And she says, and just as soon as you say breathe, dear, she says, I want you to take a breath. And she says, and then I want you to let it out slowly. And I said, oh, I said, I know this breath. I said, I'm familiar with it. I can do it. And she goes, it's what I did for my husband for decades. She said, I'm telling you this because he has a ton of anxiety. And she said, so every time I noticed that he had a little bit of anxiety, even before he noticed he was getting a little anxiety, she says, I would say, breathe, dear. And she said, and I learned over the years that my tone of voice mattered. I couldn't say, breathe, dear. Or I couldn't say, breathe, dear. She said, I learned to say it in a certain tone of voice. She says, so you're going to practice with me. She says, in your head, I want to hear you say breathe, dear, the way I would say it to him. So I said, okay. So I practice with Lily. And then she said, this is perfect. She says, now you're going to do it. And then you're going to breathe with him, right? And I said, yes, Lily, I understood the instructions. I'm going to do it with Micah. And she said, oh, good. Thank you. So I did. I said, Micah, your next message from Lily is, and then I said it, breathe, dear. And then I took my deep breath and then I let it out with him. And Kelly, it was one of the most beautiful moments I've had with a client. He just looked at me, took in his breath, and it was like you could see him literally like come right into himself, like a line. You know, like if you say all of a sudden you can see in their eyes that they're back. Mm-hmm. And he takes the breath with me, he releases it, and then he says to me, oh my God. He says, it's been a month. He says, I can't even tell you how much I've needed that. And then he looks at me, he goes, whoa, wait a minute. Like this, what just happened? He goes, wait a minute. That's my wife. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, you're my wife. He goes, Karen, how can you be my wife? He says, does this happen? He says, what's happening? He goes, okay, give me a minute. He says, and I said, breathe, dear. And he starts to giggle a little bit and he goes, okay. And we took a breath together again. And then he lets it out again. And he looks at me and he goes, you're really talking to my wife. He says, I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around this. And he goes, I know this is really silly, Karen. He says, because logically speaking, if I just go into that part of my brain, I asked you to talk to my wife. And he says, and you said yes. And I'm in this appointment and you're doing it. And he says, is it okay to say it's mind-blowing that you're doing it? And he says, like, And you can see him all trying to put the whole process in and really working hard at it. And then he says to me, I could pay you this entire fee for half an hour and just breathe with you because it is everything to me. Mm-hmm. He said, it is worth more than what I've paid you. He says, just to hear my wife say two words to me again, and the fact that she told you to take a breath, because it, obviously my wife instructed you, because you took a breath with me, just like my wife did. And he said, or did you just do this because it's what you would do with all clients? And he says, but I find that hard to believe. He says, because I know my wife. My wife would instruct you how to care for me. He said, this is my wife to a T. And I said, she told me exactly what I was supposed to do. So Micah tells me that he's absolutely positive she's here. Absolutely certain that she knows what he needs and is absolutely delighted. It's such a beautiful feeling to feel with a client, eh? And then she says to me, hey, can I have your attention again? She says, I want to confirm something for him while we're talking about the breathing. She says, I want to confirm that he wakes up through the night thinking he hears me breathing in the room. And she says, he's not freaked out. She says, normally, if you woke up in the middle of the night, and you're living all by yourself and you think you hear a person breathing, you would be freaked out. Mm-hmm. But he's pretty certain that I'm in the room reminding him to breathe. And I said, any particular reason you're doing that through the night? And she goes, yes, he has sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. So she says, I would also wake him up through the night and tell him, honey, breathe. And she says, but I wouldn't say it quite the same way that I said it during the day. But she says, I was calm. She says, I would just say, hun, breathe. Like, you know, she said, I would just nudge him, tell him, you know, or turn over. You know, she says, I would guide him. She says, I would tell him whatever it is that he needed to do. Sometimes I would say things to him like, get up and go to the bathroom. And he would just get up, go to the bathroom, come back and move his position. And she says, I did that all the time, several times a night for him. And she says, so this breathing thing is a big deal for us, Karen. And she says, and I'm saying that I show up like in our home through the night and he wakes up and he could swear to God that he hears me doing the breathing and hears me saying to him, breathe or go to the washroom or I'm cueing him. And he thinks and wonders, is this like something that I'm dreaming and I'm coming out of a dream? I'm just waking up? Or am I awake and then it happens? She says he's questioning it. And he's asking our kids about it. He's asking all kinds of people about, you know, what could be happening here. And she says, so I'm just trying to affirm that's me in the bedroom. It is me. So she says, could you just tell him that it's me? I said, absolutely. So I said, Micah, and I told him about what was going on in his sleep, that he had sleep apnea. And he just looks at me. He goes, whoa, how do you know I have sleep apnea? I said, because she's telling me you have sleep apnea. Oh, he says, I didn't realize that dead people would tell you things about us as like being alive. And I said, well, yeah, they tell us everything.
What would they tell you then?
I know. I agreed, Kelly. But he goes, well, this is all very interesting to me. He goes, okay, keep going. He says, so wait a minute. He goes, she's in the bedroom at night. He says, you're telling me that she's still with me when I'm sleeping. And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, oh, Karen, he says, you must hear this all the time, but this is beautiful. He goes, you must hear all the time that this whole, everything that you're doing is just beautiful for people, eh? And I said, sometimes. I said, and I do appreciate that you're saying it today. Thank you. And then he goes, okay, continue. So then I said, okay, Lily, what else do you want to tell Micah? And she says, well, she says, I want to point out that I asked to be buried and he cremated me instead. And I just want to point out that he made a decision since I passed. And I just want to affirm that he did. And I'm totally good with it. And he made that decision talking to the kids. And I'm good with it. She says, and he just feels that he's done the right thing. He's made the kids happy, but now he feels like he's second guessing it. Like, would that bother me? And he knows very well that I would be totally fine with it, but he's kind of nitpicky. Like he's ruminating over it and that's not necessary. She says, so let's just take that off the table. He's got enough stress. So I told him. And he said to me, oh, this is so true. He says, and I keep asking the kids if they think that she's mad at me. He goes, it's true. He goes, I keep bringing it up. And they keep telling me, Dad, let it go. And he says, and I know I should let it go. And they keep pointing out that Mom wouldn't give a shit, that Mom would be fine with whatever I want if it's my peace of mind. And he goes, I don't know why, I just keep holding on to it. But I'm really glad that she has brought it up and told me. And he says, tell her thank you. So I said, okay. So told her thank you. I said, Lily, he's passing it along. And then she says, the next message, Karen, is that I want to talk about the house. He's still in the house, like that we both lived in. He hasn't moved out. He's not staying with one of the kids. He never left to go be with any of the kids or friends. He's in the house. And she says, I want to take you through my house. And I went, oh, I love that. I said, please do. Kelly, the tour of their house was outstanding. And she says to me, the way that I always described a tour of the house is to say that it is beautifully solid. So you're going to describe the house to him and then tell him beautifully solid. So I wrote down the words beautifully solid on a piece of paper because I was afraid I was going to forget. And then she said, now take a look at the house. So she takes me in, Kelly, and she shows me really tall ceilings. She shows me floor to ceiling windows. In so many of the rooms, like it's just absolutely beautiful. Everywhere you can find or you could put a window, there's a window. And then she takes me to a particular room and she says, this is our sunroom. Now the sunroom is on like the main floor and it is all glass pretty much, except that of course you're walking from inside the house into it, right? And then you've got a fireplace that is stone, and I'll say like directly in front of how you get into the room. So it's the centerpiece. But all the way up to the ceiling, there's beams. And then in between these beams, there are more windows so that you literally can see the sky. And on two sides of the house, I think it was that she showed me the tops of trees. And you can see some pine trees and some maple trees. And you can see, and the reason I say that is because I know what both of those trees look like. And I know how those maple trees will turn all kinds of colors. And as I was thinking, oh my goodness, this must look gorgeous in the fall. I wonder what color of maple trees these would be. Would they be yellow, the yellowy gold, the orange, the red? Like, what would they be? She shows the trees turning colors. And I get to see that they have a variety of maple trees. And she says, point that out. She says, and I also, Lily says to me too, and point out that this room is now the room he's writing his book in. And I said, oh, so would he have normally written a book in another room? And she goes, yes, my husband is a researcher and he is also an author of books. And she says he's written several books and this is not his office. But since I've died, he doesn't want to go into his office. So he's taken some of the material from his workspace and put it in this room so that he can have all of this beauty all the time. And she says, I just want to say to him, I'm glad he's finally taken my advice and is doing all of his writing of his books in this room now. I wanted him to do that the whole time we were married, but he insisted on keeping his workspace in a different room and the rest of the house for the two of us in a separate space. And he was trying to do that for me and for us as a couple. But I'm thrilled that he's writing his new book in this room, and I want you to say that to him. So I said, okay. And then she says, don't forget, beautifully solid, like this. So I said, okay, Micah, I'm going to take a walk with you through your house. And he goes, what? And I said, I'm going to walk through the house with you, and Lily has taken me through your house. And he goes, sure. And he goes, okay, you go for it and you do that. So his attitude at that point changed slightly. I could feel a shift in him. And I started describing the different floors, what was on each floor, and then how he moved those two rooms, but it was also moving it from one floor to another floor. And I ended it with her saying that the house was beautifully solid. And he starts clapping.
That's funny.
And I looked at him and I just laughed. I said, Micah, that's very kind of you. I said, but I don't know really what's going on. And he goes, Karen, I just don't know how else to acknowledge and to give you praise for what you've just done. He goes, because I don't know that if I called all mediums that they could walk me through my house and give me a tour. And he goes, but maybe because you're saying Lily did it and showed you, maybe any medium can. I don't know. He says, this is the first time I've ever done this. And he says, but I know a bit about remote viewing. And he goes, are you also remote viewing my house? And I said, I always think it's a combination of gifts, Micah. I don't know how to separate them. So I think it's a combination. So he said, I'm blown away that you can do this. And he says, as a researcher, I want facts. And he says, you have nonstop given me facts. And he says, my wife's favorite expression at the end of giving people tours of the house was that she always called it beautifully solid because an architect designed our house. And we had the people that built it were beautiful, quality builders. And he said, so this was her favorite thing to say about our house was that it was both beautiful and both solid. And he says, you have given me so many factual things to prove to me this is my wife. And he said, it's been an incredible experience to have you present her personality to me, to give me the factual pieces of evidence that I value as a researcher. And he said, I'm grateful. He says, this is more than I really hoped for. And he said, I feel like my wife is here. He says, I just feel relieved knowing that she is. He says, you've literally changed some of my thoughts and my beliefs, not just about what you do, but just about what happens when we die. And he said, and you managed to pull all of that off in a half hour. He says, for $75, he says, that's extraordinary, Karen. And he says, so I clapped, not trying to be facetious or to be rude to you, but he said, it was just a way that I was really trying to say that I value what you've done. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I really have valued what my wife has done. I know this woman has loved me in life, and now she's proved without a doubt that love continues way beyond. And he says, I just can't thank you enough because my fear was that the love had died because she had died. And he said, without a doubt, I'm a believer. And he said, thank you so much. And that was the end of his session.
A beautifully solid session.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.